Hi, this is the Dark Tangent, and the speeches you're about to listen to were recorded at DEF CON 6, which was held in July 31st to August 2nd, 1998, at the Plaza Hotel and Casino in Old Downtown Las Vegas. These speeches are copyright, non-commercial use, educational uses only. If you'd like to use them for any other purpose, please contact DEF CON at www.defcon.org or email to dtangent. That's DTANGENT at defcon.org. Now, some of the speeches were lost, so you're getting what we've got recorded. Now sit back and relax, and here comes some knowledge to your head.
We have an announcement. Somebody lost their wallet. I'm not going to read the name off of it. If they want to come up. All right, well, while we're setting up here, because I've got to open up a bunch of beer for these people at this table here, I think we're going to do a quick round of spot the bet. So I'm going to hand this over.
Well, I feel like such a butthead for having to lecture you on the common courtesy to your fellow man. But I thought we might do a quick spot the bet. Does anybody want to spot a bet? I'm sorry. It's the one that got away. You can tell all your friends. He was this big. While we're waiting, does anyone want to spot a bed? Your staff, you can. You know all of it. Yes, the gentleman in the audience is going to be real original. You in the black shirt, that's about half the audience. You standing up with the hat on backwards. What bed where? Bring him up. I don't know, you can come around the front. Okay, that very funny snipers, ha ha. Remember, that scares them, they get itchy. Well, what agency do you work for?
For,
must enunciate in the back row, sir.
I work for a college.
I don't think that counts, I'm sorry.
War College!
Is it the War College? No? Is it the College of Fort Lee?
State University.
California, for those of you who missed it. Ladies and gentlemen, the famed Pete Shipley has a fence line. There's a man nearby, he's got us all fooled. You will never believe it. This man, Mudge, is a fed.
Yes, he is.
This man, Pete Shipley, is not a pimp. Well, damn, I wanted a shirt out of it at least or something. And since apparently people were sending emails around on the DC announcer or DC whatever list saying that I was a fed because I went to a party at his house where they invited their favorite fed over and I talked to him that I must be a fed. And of course the first thing that came to my mind was, you're the ones who have a favorite fed that you invite to parties. This is kind of strange. So We'll do a quick vote, we'll put this to rest. How many people here think I'm a fed? Raise their hand.
Yes!
How many people think feds are probably underpaid? In that case, I'm a fucking fed. Long, heavy industries.
LHI, PLA.
We work for the NRO, of course.
So everybody here thinks Elijah's a fed. Okay. People here think I'm a fed. No, man, you get a shirt. Just for you. So now none of the people here think I'm a fed. This body's a fed. That's fine. Thank you. Like I said, stab, not fed. And of course, the intelligence of the idiots who are jamming radio, you expect this. Anybody else want to spotty fed besides Smudge? Oh, we have one coming up. It's Quasimodo. And he's smiling at me like Hannibal Lecter. Step up, sir. I don't bite.
My name is Ed, and I work for the Department of Defense.
What do you do for the Department of Defense, sir?
Penetration testing.
NSA-C4, thank you. And are you hiring, sir?
At our wages? No.
Sorry, sir. You're the one who... What do you think, Coach? Are you a fisher?
Yeah.
I'd like to know what type of currency you have in your pocket. It looks like a ruble to me, sir. Yeah, he's on duty. No, it's not a fake ID, trust me. I'm going to hand you over to Maj. I'm going to get your t-shirt and all that good stuff.
Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, looks like we got some Santa Claus shit to get over with, so somebody came up, and of course part of the long TCPIP drinking game has to do with gratuitously throwing shit out into the audience. Probably been done all night long. If it hasn't been, get your money back! I'm gonna do some of this stuff then, so before I throw it out at you... Like the little bit feels damn heavy. Here you go. I have no clue who bought the Hackers Rock. So we have crack cocaine up here. I have no clue what Hackers Rock is, so I'm not going to be held liable or responsible. Gosh, the contents might be hot. Oh, shit. Here, guys, start chucking people and things at the audience. Send them down. Can somebody on the audience tell me what the hell Hacker's Rock is? Yeah. Oh, it's a big sleeve. And of course, if you can't realize, this is why I lost half my money, because we just throw everything out to the public. We're not against you! We did not bring to the left ourselves. What we have right here is, okay, so I guess we are feds, because we have the Feds Love Love t-shirts. Since you all love feds and feds love love, so I guess there's a correlative going on here, and all of you are feds.
We dropped the
Okay, Here, what we're doing, we're going to throw these out. We made a real limited run, and this 200 of them, and what we did is we're doing the standard loft type of ordeal here, and we are selling them, but we're selling them at cost, which is $10 a pop, so that everybody can get them. And here they come!
Just for everybody who doesn't get a shirt tonight, we are sold out here today at the con. Unfortunately, we don't have any more left, we just gave them all away. So if you want one, we have a few more left, but you have to visit the Loft website, www.loft.com, and you can order them through there.
And for those of you who don't know what that cost means, that means we're not making any profit whatsoever off of it, because we're dumb fucks. All right. The TTPIP Loft Drinking Game, or Loft Heavy Drinking Game.
Yeah!
It's about to begin. So I need a beer. They're usually in Vegas, they take them off. That's what I heard. Okay. Yep, everybody left. They got their free shit. They're out of here. Cool.
That's what I said.
The rules of the game for the Loft Heavy Industry TTPIP drinking party game, whatever it is, if you got it out there, drink it. However, what we've amassed are
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh my God, 7 individuals who have shown themselves to actually be quite exemplary in their knowledge of networking protocols and basically computer machinations all through it. And drinking. So the rules of the game are like this. There is actually some sort of worthwhile goal going on underneath this. It doesn't matter. As long as it's good news. The underlying theme, so keep it, I'm going to say it once, you can take it out with you, you can keep it in here, is you've got some really, really, really fucking bright people up here, and this is the opportunity to ask a good question. We're going to give each one of them a topic that they have to answer on. Get something out of it, and at the same time, get them plastered. These are some of the people who helped create some of the current industry. DT says I'm blasting them out in the computer room. So I'll talk like this.
No more beer.
Ask DT if that's better.
DT, is this better? I wonder how many other people can let them touch this thing.
Okay, so the yours have touched it. So what happens is you get the chance to really ask some pretty decent questions. These people probably have the answer to just about everything, because some of them helped design some of the freaking protocols almost. And you can get them shit-faced to boot. So I'm going to run down. What we do is we give each one of them a topic, then we field questions. Each person gets 3 questions from the audience. Each question should be worded with as many TCP or networking phrases as possible. Each networking or TCP or whatever terminology phrase that is included in your question accrues them one drink that they must consume at that very moment. Which means that you should not stop to wait for them to consume the drink, because we want to really hurt them. When they answer the phrase, oh, and also then there is something which is there, the moderator, which unfortunately is me, but I will do my best to imbibe along with everybody. If you're rambling and just trying to spew out a whole bunch of IP terminology without asking an actual question, we'll flag it and go on to somebody else. So you got to get something out of it. When they answer the question, which hopefully is extremely network-centric, for each phrase that they use that basically we could find out of Stephen's book, they accrue another drink for themselves. So we're going to run down, and we're going to let each person somewhat introduce ourselves, except for this one right here. Because this person, well, I'll let him introduce himself very briefly. Okay, that's what you get. However, this is the person to ask all the questions of, definitely. You are guaranteed to get an outstanding answer, just as you just saw. Well, I'm going to hand the mic down here.
Hi, my name is JSC. You can ask me questions about TCPIP.
I'm Nerva, and you can ask me.
I'm not here. I'm with Diana tonight drinking, the soccer team,
I'm Oliver from the S&I drinking team.
I'm Glenn, and all I do is drink.
That's my rules, so.
Okay, since they didn't bother to choose a topic, we're going to assign topics to them.
No, it doesn't work that way, because you get to field them, but if you defer and let other people field them for you, or if they jump in and start fielding them for you, you have to drink for every TTBI 3P phrase that it hits him. This person's topic right here is... Tom's topic is going to be network intrusion detection systems. Oh, shit, I just busted JSC's cover. That's right, JSC. Okay, if you can use JSC in your terminology, we'll drink also. Tom wrote an outstanding paper on intrusion detection systems and why they absolutely are useless, as so he believes, for detecting flaws in network protocols. Nerva should actually be, get this guy at the bit level. If there's somebody out there that extremely, extremely feels that they are so incredibly competent that this audience is just, they're like, well, I like him, Frank, I'm over here anyway, nail him. Because he'll nail himself in the response back. Okay. Ivan has a special rule, which is Ivan is going to respond to every question in Spanish, or Español, as he calls it. Which means that we're going to need some help figuring out which ones are actually network terminology, which will probably be like, el bono sabe la TCP/IP, router.
I said router, too.
You brought a translator. No bullshitting.
Here we have Oliver. Oliver, you want to actually go into the NT realm with the RP whatever things? The remote something calls? Okay. That'll be a topic. You can ask him whatever the hell you want to. If Deathbench is around here, he normally answers all questions as far as how far as TCP/IP one can be used for total world domination. Glenn's merely drinking for every time anybody else has to drink. Tim co-authored the IDS paper, and they're both absolute fantastic coders and network detection tools auditing exploits over S&I. It's actually good to see that that these guys are almost, making some of us proud, making other us go, why did you give that away? So we're going to start it off here with, we got to go the other route down here. You should be sitting in the middle.
The other way.
Grab butter on the other side. How many do I owe? Somebody has to keep cranking. Somebody has to keep cranking.
Hey, you denied crack earlier this week, and now you're mentioning it again.
Who the fuck said one? All right. Okay, since Tom down there is the other IDS, like, really nasty little bit twiddler, Tim's going to be all questions BPF and interfaces to raw sockets. You're a fucking bastard. Okay, only this man can hold up IP signs and make me drink. Okay, so we're going to open up the field to, by the way, any beer that they don't consume, I would say go out of the audience, but yeah, no shit. We'd go out of the audience, but then you never ask them any questions and just wait and rush the table. We're going to open it up to Tim here. So why don't we hands up for questions regarding BPF and all interfaces that access raw, slash, whatever. Any low-level network access through Unix or NT.
How many questions
are allowed? We get three per person. Not per audience person, but per person up on the top here.
Damn.
You almost went to hell. Yes, sir, right there.
How does the Ethernet switch work?
Ethernet and switch, that's two. That's wrong.
So you get an Ethernet packet comes into the switch. And instead of forwarding the packet to every port on the hub, the switch sends the packet out.
We got 11 drinks coming here. And you got two more audience members to go through. That's two. Three. Four. You might want to take it short or else you're going to really be hurting.
Five. Oh, serious.
Five and a half. Five and three quarters. Six. Seven. Seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. 11. Question number two. Oh, the hands are coming up now. They're realizing they can inflict pain on the people up on the panel. This is the way all panel talks should be done. You can be bothered. I love it. You're right there in the hat in the middle. What happened to packet fragmentation? Which is two packet fragmentation, and IPv6 can only really be one right there. We're going to throw that one out because although IPv6 is really, really cool and has a whole bunch of neat stuff, it ain't going to be deployed in this century. Other than the 6th phone, which I'm sure everybody's corporations is a part of right now. All right. You got off easy there. Oh, you saw the trick of three that he... Come on. One, two, three. Would you introduce yourself, sir?
Hi, I'm the editor of Frack. Will you lay down with me? Okay, if you were hypothetically going to port BPF to Windows NT, would you do that through an NDIS interface? Or could you write to the raw socket? But I think there's a problem writing to raw sockets in NT in that some of the IP header parts you can't write to because the IP header include option isn't fully supported. But there is some way that you can change the time to live through an IOP build. To port BPF to NT, because that would be really cool if someone could do that.
You're at 10, although it might be 11. Can we get a ruling on IOPTL? I mean, it's much more of a general interface. Okay. But it works with networking stuff. It's not the same. You can't IOPTL stuff? You can't. Okay, it's just 10.
Can I answer the first part of your question?
Yes.
We don't believe you. Back it up with a technical
Okay. We're going to add a new rule in here. You've got 10 coming to you, but I want people to get responses out of these people from this point on. So if you go over 8, the number of phrases they can use in their response, should they so whim out this way, can be used to decrement from the actual drinks they have going to them. But you have 10, and you didn't use any to decrement on that, so you're screwed. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Thank you, Tim, for being such a wonderful sport. thank you, Blip, for being able to call a paramedic in by the end of this thing. Okay, we have Oliver. Oliver, what was your topic? Oh, NT and all things RPC with NT and all things... It ain't gonna work that way. Oliver Frederick, some of you might know his handle, some of you might not. So go ahead and... Yes, his handle was Big Badass Nart. Hey, my bed, what are you going to do to me? Questions from the audience.
Can we quote you on that?
Man in the black beret. You're going to have to speak up. Is a denial of service attack against a flawed NTPPCP-ish type? Right. Oh, I know what PPTP is. I wrote the paper with Schneier. I was going to give you half for not being able to enunciate correctly, because obviously you played this game before we got up here. was an attack based upon flawed PPTP possible, and if so, how? Was that it? Oh, you get to field a PPTP question. Is a denial of service attack against NT possible using flaws in PPTP? Yes.
If so, how?
By sending a malformed PPTP packet.
What kind of header?
That's more.
Due to Microsoft's excellent coding skills, they do boundary checking on everything. Just kidding.
All right, I missed it. So Ollie owes 7 drinks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Blip, you're amazing. Me, 7. All right, that was question number 1, huh? Right in the front, because I'll be able to hear you.
All right.
Oh, come on. PPTP doesn't count as an IP player. I gave that about 3. It was basically on how you tunnel PPTP through a firewall that might not actually accept it currently. What do you mean? Yeah, we'll go on to the next question, but I will tell you, come talk to me afterwards and I'll show you exactly how to do it. And anybody else thinking about implementing PPTP, forget it. It ain't worth it. No, not for the questions. I'm talking, you can ask as many questions as you want. If you want to implement it to corporation, go ahead also. One thing I would like to proffer out to people is that anybody at Microsoft who goes out to do consulting work, like a serious like engineer consulting job, they will PPTP back into Microsoft. If they can't get there, they will come up to you and they will say, excuse me, your firewall is blocking me. Can you open up the PPTP? I'll tell you, this is a good one. I'll drink as much as you want after this. These people are going to like this one. Can you open up the firewall to this IP address? We released Lovecrack 2.51 tonight in honor of DEF CON 6. What does this point release mean? It means that if you can sniff, and we give you the tools to sniff it, a PPTP session, you can break it and tunnel right back into Microsoft. Wow. Allegedly.
Yeah.
As Microsoft will say, yes, that might be an exploit, but it's entirely theoretical.
That's a feature.
So Locke's new buy phrase is making the theoretical possible since 1992. It includes the PPTP sniffer. I think it's got the source code for the NDIS driver that we did up there beforehand, so everybody else can use it to start programming NC code, because there's a sore lack of raw sockets interfaces up to it, although some people have some really excellent ones and ours are really crappy. And some performance enhancements. And yes, I'd also like to point out that although it's under the shareware thing, the entire reason it's under the shareware thing is because federal agencies like the Department of Energy were using it as their de facto standard auditing tool and wouldn't give us $50 to further our research to help the hacker community out. And it's not tremendously difficult to bypass that lockout stuff. And the source code for the command line version, which does almost the same thing, is still available for free. It's got to have a GUI because the corporate people can't use it without a GUI either. So Ollie, you still got two more coming. One more, right.
And now you have to drink for your old spiel.
Okay, here, share this for me while I drink, Tim. We have to call in. This is the standard loft-like thing at meetings. Also, when Mudge gets too drunk, somebody else grabs the microphone.
All right. So we have another question. Who's up?
Goya.
Oliver. Question number two. Oh, number three. Over there. The question is, when you're running all these NT services, your mouse jumps around?
Yes.
Okay, he's running all these NT services like standard services. Why does it jump?
The library.
I think you're looking at the wrong websites. But really, I have no idea what you're doing under your desk.
Unfortunately, I don't think we can get any drinks out of that one.
Website,
that's one. That's not a CIP term. All right. Great. Nobody knows. You stumped the panel.
Lock interrupts.
All right. Do we have a question for Ivan? Right over there. Seems obvious that we're centering on NT questions because no one knows how the fuck it works.
Okay, I hope you understand Spanish.
Because
because if you understand French, you have to point out the TCP/IP words are in shared English. Entonces, la pregunta era, ¿cuál es la metodología para hacer browser de dominios, de varios dominios IP? Bueno, en realidad, supongo que la metodología adecuada es enviar distintos paquetes DBS. Can you prove that? Okay, I drink anyway, so. Enviar distintos paquetes de DNS, ya sea a la dirección Chromecast o a direcciones específicas. Y hoy en snipear los paquetes de respuesta o directamente capturarlos. I don't know if you understood that, but anyway.
So
we have Ocho.
Since Ivan is basically of with Hispanic background from can I say where you're from? From Argentina. And we know the Argentinian can drink. I think you gotta finish your beer.
Should I downgrade my protocol from vodka to beer, or?
All right, let's go. You got Ocho. Por favor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Ocho.
Muy gracias. Muy bueno, sir.
What was that, the first one? Or the Uno question?
What's his topic?
Oh my god, not NT. RPC. RPC in a Unix environment? Sun RPC. Okay, I'm not doing that. Sun RPC. You can get some good exploits that aren't public out of this man if you ask about Sun RPC right now. This is what you do, because he's drunk also. Opening it up. Okay, I can't count on that. You're coming up. Damn!
Okay, better.
That should be very important.
Please, sir.
That's DC RPC. That's not Sun RPC. You want to go again, or do you want to give it to somebody else? Okay. Oh, and I'm not going to say your name, because I don't know who you're going by tonight. So, you in the all-black leather lingerie.
Oh, I'm going to default.
No, I'm talking to Theo in the lingerie. Theo, I'm sorry. Theo Durant, the maintainer and god of OpenBSD. Gratuitous plugs, do you have any OpenBSD CD-ROMs to left? He's got 5 left that are selling, get them when he can. Okay, question.
Ivan, how does Jonas Erdfeld's DNS cast attack work?
How does Jonas Erdfeld, I'm going to botch that name, Erdfeld. Johannes Erdfeld's DNS cache attack work. That's only one right now.
Okay, that's not exactly a RPC question, but anyway. Básicamente, lo que hace es encadenar.
engañar en la respuesta del DNS. Distintos resource records que digamos, no tienen nada que ver unos con otros entre sí, pero finalmente hacen que se el caso de DNS integre lo que se le está mandando. Por ejemplo, si se le manda un query sobre netscape.com, la respuesta puede venir por la dirección de netscape.com y después un CNAME de cualquier otro lugar y después en la parte de additional records con digamos el address de ese otro lugar que no tiene nada que ver con el query original.
13, however, I really want to know how this works. So, and I'm really no good at Espanol. So, we're going to have Thomas answer it in Inglés. Hold up a second, Theo, because each one he uses out of English goes to you, Theo.
I want Theo to translate what I said. Or can drink.
Wait, there is one over here.
Okay, Theo's busy trying to make his rent, giving away the last 5 OpenBSDC drops. So we want the answer, but we need to accumulate them and keep them in a register here, and he's going to drink them after the TCPIP drinking game. But, Thomas, yeah. Well, I think Ivan will probably drink. Oh, Glenn always drinks. Yeah.
Okay, the way it works is like this, okay? DNS, which is a protocol encapsulated in IP and UDP, okay, you can spoof DNS, because DNS is not authenticated like the rest of the IP board protocol suite, okay? So what you do is you formulate a query to a DNS server, and that's a DNS query packet as opposed to, say, an iQuery packet, or anyway, the DNS packet is composed of many records. Example of records is like CNAME and, you know, A record, NS record, okay? So anyway, in a DNS packet, right, in a DNS response, there's supposed to be like a normal, like, you know, an amount of extra records that, you know, give extra information about, like, you know, the domain name server, the primary secondary name server. Okay, the IP address translations for each of the A records. Yeah, plus you have a CNAME record, you can have the A record plus CNAME record. Anyways, what you do is you put an extra record in the response that says, say, netscape.com, I believe is your example. Okay? Netscape.com is like, I don't know, pornqueen.com. So you say like, you know, netscape.com is this, and by the way, netscape.com is also this. And that's the answer.
Can you repeat that?
Was that 20 or 38? I have an overflow problem there. That's 38. 1, 2.
Oh, it's only
three.
Yes.
4. All right. We're going to give Glip the chance to actually finish this at his leisure, but he has 38 coming in. 39. Thomas, 33. Okay. A round of applause for Glip for being a good sport throughout the entire thing here. All right. I think we're going to move to Nerva now.
Right here.
Who's got one that rhymes? Yes, thank you. You were the same man from last year. This is the rhyming TCPIP dictionary. This is a god unto himself. Sir. Would you come forward and take the mic, please?
You are going to hell, you know that.
To whom do I address this? To Nirvine, our guy. That's what I was hoping for. All right, Nirvine, listen carefully. This is only 8 lines. It's not the longest I can make it, but what it lacks in quantity makes up for quality. Yes, yes. All right. Listen carefully. Gateways and routers and autonomous systems eking out paths through networks diverse. Packets between global data and infinite wisdoms through TCP/IP stacks, for better or worse. The network question here, a TCP modular, the name of the protocol at ISO level 3, which dynamically reconfigures the internet route modeler, I'm vital to the internet today, name me.
You're up at 16. Do you have it written down? Can he read it? Sir, would you like a beer? Okay, here you go. Oh, Nerva, I'm sorry, you're going to have to stay up here. Nerva wants to take the option of naming them all off and then subtracting, which means everyone after that he subtracts from goes back. But he can answer it any way he pleases. Okay, there is one answer. However, he might, without rephrasing, without just repeating the entire beautiful poem. Haiku you too. Hold a second. Here comes the brain trust. Okay. How many people are working on the brain trust there? Two people. While the two people are working on the brain trust, the rest of you have the brain.
And for each answer and for each TCP/IP term he uses, I will take a drink in the answer.
See, there's a problem with your question, which is that at ISO layer 3, that would be the IP protocol. There is no dynamic reconfiguration, and I may be talking about protocols like DHCP, ICMP, OSPF, RIP, HTTP 4, ISIS, ESIS, EIGRP, IPRP, stuff like that. So that's what manages the autonomous systems across the internet, and the global routing fabric, routers like, Cisco's and, I think I keep it all around now, so I'll just say, you're wrong, that's a bad question, the answer is IP.
Actually, I haven't hit it in BGP4, but that will work.
And with BGP4, that makes that 24. I think next year, or maybe even by the end of this conference, we need to create a as this goes along, we need to create a plaque and trophy for the winner here, and you are definitely in the running for the past 2 years. Woo! Norman, do you want to go for another one, or do you want to defer the questions over to us? That's true. Another question for Sir Nerva here.
Oh, right here!
Yes, sir, Mr. FBI. Can I say your handle? Dr. Vite.
Besides denial of service attacks on the backbone routers as explained by the loft at the Senate hearing to bring down the internet in 30 minutes, how can the internet be brought down by route poisoning?
Nerva!
Right now.
we can only get it over.
As moderator, the rules are that everybody at the panel has to drink for the next 3 seconds, starting Mark! Get set, hand it down to the person without the beer. Who doesn't have a beer? Anybody else? On your marks, get set, go! 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000. Does anybody else have a question of the moderator? Yes, I am a vet, of course. You hired me. The question was basically in a nutshell, what's going to help me? And the answer, of course, is. Ooh, the first person who has it right, alcohol. This is much too brown to be water, as it says across. That must be a lot of water. That's okay. Remember, you got five. Who asked the question? Okay, wait a second. I know you're over 21. Are you up for playing? No. Who wants a proxy? We've got a proxy. For each phrase you use, it decrements. Once you go negative, you get some tracking.